This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate. غريب في الحياة وفي الممات ومجهول الهوية والصفات كذا كانت حياتي دون معنى أفسرها ككل الكائنات.
There will be challenges and you will face a lot of obstacles, some of them major obstacles.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. For a second I was a bit afraid when I came in. I thought I was in Star Wars or something like this. But alhamdulillah, yani it's all peaceful here. The brother who introduced me did not leave a lot of material for me to talk. So, mashallah, he gave the full lecture, jazallah khair. And I'll try to recap on what he had said. Introduction was very thorough, was very good, mashallah. But maybe we would like to go into some details. Killing, murdering, taking the life of a human being is something that normal people abhor, hate, are disgusted by, and this is human nature. If you see someone slaughtering a sheep or even a chicken, you are not at ease with that. And to tell you the truth, I've never done that. I was not called to do it, but I don't think I have the guts to do it. Seriously, probably I would sit and cry with it. Nevertheless, we would like to know the perspective of Islam over the issue of killing. Because we're Muslims, so we have to run through our fundamentals, the Quran and the Sunnah. We are fundamentalists in this sense. And we're proud of it. But what does our religion say about killing? First of all, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who does not speak except the truth and the ultimate truth, said in an authentic hadith, avoid the 7 things that doom a person to hell. And these are known as al-mubiqat, or the major sins. And he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, shirk. And he mentions killing the soul without right. So killing itself is prohibited, and especially if it is without any legitimacy and without any right. But what is killing? There is a difference between killing and dying. Death is something natural that everyone has to go through. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Each soul will taste death. So this is inevitable. Whether you die now, die 10 years from now, die 950 years from now, eventually you're going to die. And they define this as the soul departing the body naturally, without someone causing it to happen. While killing is the cause of an effect. It is the result of a doing of a person. So, if you look at killing, if you look at murdering, you'll find that it is the first sin on the face of earth. when humans existed, when Adam alayhi salam descended to earth, the first sin was when Qabil killed his brother Habil. And this is what the angels, subhanallah, anticipated. They knew this. And when Allah told them that I am going to place a generation, I'm going to place a species that would succeed one another. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. They will succeed one another. What did they say? They said, will you place upon it one who causes corruption therein and sheds blood? Subhanallah, the angels knew what the humans are capable of doing. They anticipated it because Allah Azza wa Jal gave them knowledge. Now, killing is not something that is easy. It is one of the major sins. It is so major, it is so grave, it is so serious that Allah Azza wa Jal associated it with shirk, with disbelief, with kufr. Allah Azza wa Jal says when He describes to us the characteristics of Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Allah Azza wa Jal who walk the earth in peace, Allah says at the end, and those who do not invoke with Allah another deity or kill the soul which Allah has forbidden to be killed except by right, and do not commit unlawful sexual intercourse. Okay, these are three major sins. What is the result? And whoever should do that will meet a penalty. Multiplied for him is the punishment on the day of resurrection, and he will abide therein humiliated. This is the punishment. But imagine that Allah associates killing others with shirk, with the most major sin on earth that Allah does not forgive. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam does the same thing. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, every sin on earth Allah will forgive. Of course, if Allah wishes. Except a man killing a believer intentionally, or a man dying in the state of kufr and disbelief. This, according to the Prophet ﷺ, is unforgiven. Killing someone intentionally, a believer, or dying in the state of kufr. And Allah Azza wa Jal has magnified the human soul, and He magnified the burden and sin of taking a soul to the extent that Allah gave us an example as if man kills all of mankind. Imagine someone coming, annihilating all those who live on earth with weapons of mass destruction, with whatever it might be. No one in his right mind would hesitate to condemn such an evil act, Allah Azza wa Jal says. Because of that, because of what? Because of the killing of Qabil to his brother Habil, as mentioned in chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah immediately says after that story, because of that, we decreed upon the children of Israel that whoever kills a soul, unless for a soul or for corruption done in the land, it is as if he had slain mankind entirely. And whoever saves one, it is as if he had saved mankind entirely. The sin is overwhelming. Even if you contribute in killing a soul by a word, you're a partner. Umar says, if, may Allah be pleased with him, if the people of a town collaborated on killing an individual, I will execute them all. Not only that, the Prophet said before him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the jinn and the humans collaborated on killing a man unlawfully, Allah Azza wa Jal would torment them with hellfire, all of them. For killing one soul? Yes, because this is not something that you can mess around with. Killing is not always a sin. For example, in the books of fiqh, killing is divided into three types. Killing intentionally, killing semi-intentionally, and killing by mistake. So if you kill someone, if you kill a Muslim by mistake, how would that be? I'm driving and I have a car accident. The car rolls over, the passengers with me all die. Who killed them? I did. Intentionally? Definitely not. This was unintentional. In this case, what is the expiation? I must pay the blood money, known as diya. And for a Muslim male, it is the equivalent of 100 camels. Nowadays, equivalent to 300,000 ringgits. I don't know if you have camels here or not. This is too serious, akhi. People are sleeping. Anyhow. And you have to fast 2 consecutive months. Because initially you have to free a slave. But nowadays there are no slaves around. So the other alternative is to fast 2 consecutive months. And this is for Allah to repent over you. And one says, akhi, I did not make a mistake. I did not sin. Yes, but whoever goes through such a process of killing someone unintentionally, it's not your mistake. You are not at ease. You have just killed someone. You get nightmares. Oh, they died while they were in the car with me. I was driving. If I had only done this, if I only had done that, what about their wives? What about their children? What about their loved ones? You go through sleepless nights because of this tribulation. Allah Azza wa Jalla is most merciful. Fast 2 consecutive months and Allah would repent for you. You feel after fasting these 2 consecutive months, you don't split or you don't leave one day. Afterwards, you feel that Allah has repented. And the burden is gone. What about unintentional killing? How can you kill someone unintentionally? This is not a mistake. I'm fighting with someone who's insulting me. I'm angry. I slap him on the face. He dies. Wallahi, I did not want to kill him. If you swear from here until the day of judgment, it's not going to help. You killed him. Though this is known as semi-intentional. If you throw someone with a chalk or with a piece of bread in a state of anger, this doesn't kill, but he dies. If you throw something that like a rope or a whip, or you hit him with a small miswak and he dies, it so happens. Don't laugh. This is reality. It can happen. So do not use miswak in fights. If he dies, then this is called semi-intentional. So what to do? The penalty is equivalent. You have to pay the diya. But the diya is paid by your kinship, not by you. Your family, your relatives help in paying it. And you have to free a slave. If not, then fast 2 consecutive months. Now, when it comes to the third category, which is intentional killing, this is no game. Rage is there. You kill someone. What is the penalty? There is a set of choices for those whom the slain person was related to. Someone kills my brother, someone kills my son, someone kills my father. It is up to me and to his kinship to demand for justice, a life for a life. So, the first choice, he has to be executed. Who executes him? No. Never ever think that there is a punishment in Islam that is taken care by individuals. It has to be taken care by the ruler, the Muslim ruler. Akhi, he killed my father. I have to kill him. Okay, kill him and we will kill you. This is the law of Islam. No one is allowed to take law into his own hands. Otherwise, we'll be living in a jungle. And the only one who would prevail is Tarzan. No, this is not a jungle. This is Islamic society. This is civilized world. This is life. We have authorities. We have people to look into it, investigate, condemn, give a verdict, and we have the ruler to approve yes or no. This is the way it's done in Islam. So the family says, we don't want him to die. Then you go to option two. Give us the blood money. The blood money in this case is equivalent, 100 camels. But your relatives have nothing to do with it. You have to pay it on your own. Why should they suffer for your own mistake? So you have to pay it. And you have to pay it immediately. In the semi-intentional killing, it's not being paid immediately. It's paid over a duration of 3 years in installments, because this was a mistake. Semi-intentional. What was not intended. Now, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that it is not permissible to shed the blood of a Muslim who bears witness that there is no God but Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah, except, meaning that though there is unlawful killing, but in Islam there is lawful killing. There are punishments of execution in Islam. Again, to be carried only by the Muslim ruler. The Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, a life for a life. So when you go to the West, most of the countries condemn and ban execution. And this is very funny. I was once in a gym working out, and there was an American, an American individual. And we used to chit-chat about Islam and trying to give him da'wah, while spotting him and thinking, should I drop it or not? No. So he was once talking to me and condemning execution. And I said, this is for the sake of humanity. We have to have execution. Said, no, this is unacceptable, taking the life of a person no matter what his sin is. So I told him, if someone were to rape your wife or your sister and was acquitted by the court for lack of evidence, though you saw it, and then you saw the man coming out of the court, laughing his head off, pointing at you and mocking, while you had a shotgun in your hand, what would you do? He said, I'm going to blow the mother so-and-so head off. were his exact words. So I told him, alhamdulillah, Islam saves you the bullets. We do this for you. Just take him to court, and Islam does this. And it made sense to him then. People don't think logically until they are affected by it. But when it's outside, no, killing is haram, killing is not right. No, it is not right unless it is put in perspective. So the Prophet says, a soul for a soul. Okay, we know that. Secondly, he said, a person who commits illegitimate or illegal sexual act, if he were married before or still married now. So a person who commits adultery, whether he is currently married, divorcee, widow, he has committed one of the major sins, that if proved, and proving it can happen only by the witness or the testimony of four witnesses, seeing the actual thing, describing it graphically, and the interrogators are saying, huh, what did he do then? Or by confession. He comes up front and says, I did it. Otherwise, you cannot prove it. This penalty is execution, to be stoned to death. And people in the West say, stoning is not nice, it's not good. Akhi, this is a punishment from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And by the way, there are more than 7 different sins mentioned in the Bible that the punishment is stoning for them. In the Bible. I can quote it for you if you wish, but this is not the appropriate convention. Maybe another convention. If you insult your parents, you will be stoned to death. If you insult your king, you will be stoned to death. If you fornicate with the daughter of a priest, subhanallah, why the daughter of a priest? This is their book, not mine. You will be stoned to death. Even an ox, you know, a bull, if a bull attacks a human being, it would be stoned to death. Sorcery, stoned to death. Shirk, in their books, stoned to death. And then they come and accuse our religion. Ah, a religion of violence. They stone people to death. Akhi, when was the last time you saw an execution by stoning? It is the most difficult crime to prove. You need 4 witnesses. And seriously, they have to graphically describe the action. Not, I saw 2 and they were not wearing clothes. No, not enough. I saw them really close to each other. Not enough. Akhi, what do you want me to say? You have to say it. Rated R is not enough. It has to be rated X. Then I can accept the testimony of the 4. Otherwise, they will be flogged for such a slander, for failing to describe it as it is. So this is from Islam to protect the privacy. It is to protect your reputation from being a toy played by others. So, a soul for a soul, a person who was previously married committing adultery, and a person who abandons his religion and forsakes the unity, the jama'ah. This is the punishment of apostasy. Sheikh, we have to have freedom in religion. Yes. Don't become a Muslim. Up to you. But once you become a Muslim, I will kill you if you leave Islam. Sheikh, this is harsh. No, this is not harsh. This is major treason. You're betraying not a country, you're betraying the whole faith of Islam. Remain an un-Muslim as you wish. As a Muslim, I'm not gonna come to you. It's your freedom to worship whomever you wish. But once you come to Islam, then it is not a game. You cannot go back. This is Islam. You have to abide by it. A person who commits an act of apostasy. Sheikh, can we kill him? Woo! Yalla, bismillah. No! Sheikh, he insulted the Prophet. He insulted Allah. He insulted the Quran. I want to kill him. You have no right in killing him. Okay, Sheikh, but what should I do? There has to be a committee of judges sitting with the person, verifying that he knows what he's saying, that he's not insane, that he does not have any misconceptions. We talk to him, we bring him the evidences, we try to talk him over to let go. He insists, no, I don't want Islam. Akhi, we will kill you and then fry you. He said, no, I do not want Islam. This is unfair. This is so and so. So we give him a few days in prison. Maybe he comes back to his senses. He insists. We take the verdict to the ruler, Muslim ruler. The person has committed an act of apostasy. We tried our level best. He's not coming back. The ruler then looks in the pros and cons. 99.9%, he will have him executed. And this punishment can only be set by the Muslim ruler. No individual can do it. No soldier, no policeman. It has to be from the Imam. And this is how the Muslim society lives and thrives in peace and harmony. But if anyone comes and I see this brother, he's talking to me and he's saying bad things to me in Twitter. So I meet him the following day. He said, "How are you, Sheikh?" "Sheikh, why did you kill him?" "He insulted the Prophet." Halas. Then everybody would kill each one because he insulted Allah, maybe. He insulted the Quran. He insulted Salam. He was making fun of Adhan. He made a joke about Shaitan. Shaitan? Oh, no, Shaitan is the other team. Subhanallah. People would start killing one another, and this would not ever be a peaceful place to live in or an Islamic way of living. Killing is not an easy thing. Killing a Muslim is not an easy thing at all. Imagine that the Prophet ﷺ was making tawaf. Tawaf by what? A grave? Astaghfirullah wa tawbili. You cannot make tawaf except on or around the Kaaba. Anyone making tawaf around the graves or around a statue or around anything, this is an act of ibadah. But people don't know shirk. I think Brother Sheikh Muhammad Salah spoke about it, so I will not recap on his lecture. What did the Prophet say, alayhi salam? He was making tawaf around the Kaaba. He said, addressing the Kaaba. Of course, the Kaaba does not listen. The Kaaba is Kaaba. But he is saying this so that those around him, and the narrator of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father, could listen and relay the message. He said, "Ma atyabuki, how sweet you are, and how sweet your fragrance is." And when you love something, you love it for all what it is, regardless. And that is why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the smell of the mouth of a person fasting is more beautiful at the sight of Allah than musk. Though we do not like it, but it is loved by Allah because it's a sign of ibadah. So the Prophet is addressing the Kaaba. How sweet you are and how sweet your fragrance is, and how great you are and how great your sanctity is. But by Allah, whom my soul is in his hand, the sanctity of a believer is more important and greater at the sight of Allah from you. One believer, his blood, the Prophet says, and his wealth are more important at the sight of Allah from the Kaaba. Now, how serious is this issue? That is why a lot of the scholars of Islam adopted the opinion that a person who kills another person does not have the right of repentance, that Allah would never forgive him for his sin. And among them is Abdullah ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with him. Imagine, one of the greatest scholars of the companions, the cousin of the Prophet, he believes that there is no repentance for a murderer. And this was when he was asked, may Allah be pleased with him, about a man killing another Muslim intentionally, but then he repents, he believes, and he does good deeds, and he is guided. So what do you think, Ibn Abbas? Ibn Abbas said to him, "Woe be to him. How is he guided after he had killed a person who is Muslim? I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the day of judgment, the murderer and the victim will come, and the victim, the one who was killed, is hanging to the head of the killer. And he would come to Allah and says, 'Oh Lord, ask him, why did he kill me? For what was I killed?'" Ibn Abbas says, by Allah. This was revealed to our Prophet and it was not abrogated. So Ibn Abbas believes that a killer, a murderer, has no room for repenting. The sin is so grave. Likewise, Abdullah ibn Umar, and we all know Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father. He said, and the hadith is in al-Bukhari, the biggest problem, or one of the biggest problems that has no solution to it. So now he's talking about something that accepts no repentance. There is no solution. You put yourself in a problem without a way out. He says, the biggest, or one of the biggest problems that has no solution to whomever falls in it, is when you shed the unlawful haram blood. So even Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. By the way, and this is a footnote, and it's not included in the program. Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them, were the two companions leading two different schools. Ibn Umar was on the strict bit, always being careful. Ibn Abbas was on the lenient bit, always choosing the easiest. And both of them were great scholars and companions of the Prophet ﷺ. However, in this issue of killing someone, a believer, unlawfully, they all agreed that this is something that has no answer to. However, alhamdulillah, the most authentic opinion of all scholars and other companions, that Allah forgives all sins if a person repents before dying. And this is the grace of Allah, and this is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Otherwise, we would have been in a difficult position. Now, what is the first thing a person will be held accountable over on the Day of Judgment? They're asleep. As-salat. Okay, alhamdulillah, there's someone awake. Allahumma lakal hamd. May Allah Azza wa Jal increase them. However, salat is between you and Allah. The first thing that Allah would judge upon the humans is in blood. So if you shed someone's blood, if you kill someone, if you hit someone, this is the first of sins to be judged by Allah between others. And killing is not a funny thing. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ even prohibited the acts that may lead you to killing, such as joking. So you find people playing with the gun, say, boom, boom. Akhi, don't point the gun at me. Yeah, akhi, it's not loaded. Look, look. Astaghfirullah. Wallahi, this happened to me. Believe it or not, but I don't want to waste time because I see that the clock is running and I have a lot of material. This happens. It happened in Arabia. People thinking that the gun has no bullets. They're cleaning it. And they're pointing it at another Muslim. And it misfires and he dies. It happened with a son and his father. He killed him. Mistakenly. The father killed the child. He thought there was not a bullet. There's always a bullet in the chamber, by the way. If you take the magazine. Now, don't think I'm a terrorist. I know guns. I know a little bit about guns. I have guns, but they're all licensed. I'm legal, so you can come and inshallah. If you take the magazine out, don't think that it's okay. There's a bullet in the chamber. So if you press the trigger, it fires. And so many, the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever points with a piece of metal, whether it's a knife, a sword, a spear, a gun, a rifle, whoever points to his brother, even if he was his sibling from his father and mother, jokingly, even if you're joking, the angels would curse him until he puts it down. A'udhu billah. I'm not going to even do anything. Well, the angels will, are cursing you as long as you are pointing it at your Muslim brother, jokingly. So how about if it was seriously? And how about if it was to another a person who's not your brother, who's a stranger? The sin and the burden would be even more and more. Now, a lot of the Muslims here who have tendencies of violence and of bombing others would say, I hate this lecture, but I can't get out now. If I get out, they know that I'm one of them. So they are calming themselves to say, yeah, this is about Muslims. Muslims, we don't kill Muslims. We kill non-Muslims.
Kill the infidels.
Well, I'm sorry to bring you bad news. Even that is not permissible. Subhanallah. In our religion, in Islam, he's a disbeliever. I'd like to kill him and step on his stomach and jump and jump and jump until he throws up. You can't do that. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever killed a mu'ahad will not smell the fragrance of paradise, although its fragrance may be detected from a distance of 40 years travel. Mu'ahad. This is a new word. What is mu'ahad? Those who are writing, who have a pen and a paper, write down. Dhimmi. Mu'ahad. Musta'man. Okay, translation. You can see it here. Okay, I'll read it for you, for those who cannot see. Dhimmi is a person who lives in a Muslim land and is paying taxation, jizya. So Christian, Jew, any other denomination, living with the approval of the ruler, and he's giving his financial contribution. You cannot kill him. And if you kill him, this is something that the Prophet is warning you of. You will not find the fragrance of Jannah, meaning that you will not get close to it. The distance of a travel of 40 years. Now, mu'ahad is a person who's given a covenant. So he is not living in Muslim land. He is from a kafir land. And he might be even from a land that has war between us and Muslims. Yet the governor, the ruler, gives him an exemption for a week, for a month, for a year to come. So he has what we know now call a visa. So he comes with a visa. Who gave him the visa? The Muslim ruler. Okay, what can I do? So this man, you cannot attack him. Mu'ahad, he has a covenant. He has a pledge with us. Though he's a kafir, he's from a warring country. And al-musta'man is a person who might be an enemy of Islam. He might be anything. But one of the Muslims, not the ruler, not the governor, not the general in the army, any Tom, Dick, or Harry, providing he's a Muslim, of course. He doesn't have to change the name, but this is irrelevant. So any Tom, Dick, or Harry can come and say, oh Muslims, this individual, I give him a safe haven to pass, and none of you can attack him. And this is in Islam. None of the Muslims around here can attack this man, because he was given the pledge of safety by a free man, or a slave, or a woman, or a man. It doesn't matter. They all can give this pledge of safety to him. Now, we have 21 minutes, 35 seconds, 34 seconds, 33 seconds. Okay, let me go back to the issue. Now, in the times of tribulation, we live in times of fitna. Turn on the TV. All what you see, bombings, killings, murdering, slaying, slaughtering. Subhanallah. Even if you go to History Channel, World War I, World War II, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, blood, bodies all around. What is this? What's happening? Well, the Prophet gave us a warning, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said that the day of judgment would not come until a number of things take place. Until knowledge is uplifted. Real knowledge, you will not find people speaking with knowledge. Knowledge from the Quran, knowledge from the Sunnah, knowledge from the Salaf. You will find people coming and giving you a talk. And after 1 hour, wallah, the talk was good. What was it about? I don't know, but we laughed a lot. This is not knowledge. Knowledge is something that you go out of the gate, learning how to fear Allah Azza wa Jal, how to avoid something, and you gain knowledge from the Quran and from the Sunnah. So one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, that there will be time when knowledge is uplifted, and there will be a lot of earthquakes. And the time will come so close that today is, mashallah, the first of Ramadan. We've sighted this, the crescent, mashallah. You blink and it's Eid. What is this? Subhanallah, 30 days go like nothing. Then you find few years going like nothing. And then you are on your dying bed. Akhi, come on, I was fooled, man. What is this? 65 years passed without me anticipating it? You don't feel it. Time runs like crazy. And the Prophet says, fitan would appear, tribulations, calamities, tests all over. And there will be haraj. And they said, what is haraj? He said, the spreading of killings. There will be a lot of fatalities, a lot of people killing one another. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he is telling this, he is telling us about something that will happen. Now, is it happening? Yes, but not to a very large scale, to the extent that, oh, wallahi, ya akhi, you know our neighbor, Abdullah? Yes, wallahi, he died. Why? Because Muhammad killed him. We don't have this, alhamdulillah. We have killings, but in limited areas. But if we don't stop it, it will spread, and it becomes like cancer. Now, we see a lot of people dying, and some of them die or are being killed falsely under the tag of Islam. They claim that religion tells them to do this killing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us from such people. What's their name? Khawarij. Now, a lot of those brothers who want to leave but are unable to do so, watch out. It's all being recorded. Cameras are everywhere. Use your diapers, even if you have to go to the bathroom. I do not advise you. A lot of the brothers are saying, yeah, this is what you all do. Anyone who fights for the sake of Islam, you call him Khawarij. Akhi, go through the Sunnah. Don't look at me. I'm not an honorable person. I'm just a poor Saudi. They brought me from Saudi Arabia and told me, speak about this and that. Don't listen to me. Go to the books of the Sunnah. And look at the 73 sects that the Prophet told us, alayhi salam, that the Ummah will be divided to. All of them are in hell except one. And look at one of these 72 sects that Allah, that the Prophet alayhi salam, described. You will not find a description more clear, more prominent than the description of Khawarij. One hadith, five hadiths, 10 hadiths, more than that. Subhanallah. Why is that? Because their danger is camouflaged. Their threat to the ummah is deceiving. Now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us similar description of the Dajjal. He told us the Dajjal looks like this, he will come this and does this, and he will stay 40 days, and he will have this with him, and rivers of milk and rivers of bread. And he, why is the Prophet so going out of his way describing to us one fitna? Because deception is the name of Dajjal. You think when you see him that he's on the right track. If you go back to the Sunnah, oh, this is what the Prophet ﷺ warned us of. Likewise with Al-Khawarij. Those who live on depriving others from living. Those who live on killing, on bloodshed, on barbarism. They're barbaric. They pretend to be loving Islam, and in reality, a lot of them smoke, drug addicts, watch pornography. What is this? Let us not, I'm not addressing you, brothers and sisters, those who are not able to go. I'm talking generally speaking, huh? So, the Prophet, when he tells us, alayhi salatu wassalam, that they are the hounds of hell, that they are the worst people under the heavens, and he says that whomever meets them, he doesn't say communicate with them, he doesn't say try to logic, he says kill them. Because if I were alive, I would have killed them, the killing of Ad and Thamud. And he says, they are the worst people under the heavens. Whomever they kill is among the martyrs and among the best of people. And whomever kills them is the best of Muslims. A lot of hadiths, they attack the Muslims and they leave the disbelievers. And this is what we're finding. They attack discriminately, killing men, women, children. And this is totally prohibited in Islam. And they come from ignorance and live in ignorance, and they are going into ignorance. How is that? They have misinterpretations. They are deluded. They are living in confusion, and they convince themselves of so many things that are baseless. But because 1 + 1 = 2, this means that this, I have to do, subhanAllah, wait. Let's go for the beginning and communicate. They don't want to communicate. I'll kill you, then I'll communicate with you. Like Rodio Rodriguez, the professional Mexican assassin. He says, friend, my friend, I kill people for money, but because you're my friend, I'll kill you for nothing. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair for this discount. This is the same mentality these people have. I'm taking you to Jannah. That's why I'm killing you. I'd rather stay here. Let Jannah in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla, not in your hands. Now, killing Muslim is a major offense. And listen to this hadith. Al-Miqdad ibn Aswad, one of the great, brave warriors of Islam, asks the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a question so that he could have a clear job description when he meets the enemy. You know, you have to have a clear job description to define your role. He says, O Prophet of Allah, imagine I'm at the battlefield and I am fighting this kafir, this disbeliever, this enemy of Islam. And while we're fighting this duel, he chops my arm off. Now you have only one arm. He chops it off. Then he runs away and hides behind the tree. So I catch up with him with one arm, with my sword. And when I come to attack him, he says, I believe that there is no God but Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, do not kill him. The man is saying, oh, Prophet of Allah, he just chopped my arm off. Yeah, this wasn't like last week. I'm talking about a minute ago. He cut my whole arm off, and we are in the battlefield. We're not in the masjid. Well, he would say, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, and everybody would embrace him and kiss him. We're in the battlefield. Now, Al-Miqdad is asking a question that each and every one of us should ask. Should I give him the benefit of the doubt? Or should I act upon what I see? Or should I look into his heart whether he is telling the truth or not? So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, do not kill him. Miqdad said, Prophet of Allah, he chopped my hand. And after that, he said what he had said. Can I kill him? The Prophet said, again and again, do not kill him. Because if you kill him, you are in his position before he chopped your hand. Before he chopped his hand, he was what? He was a kafir. So if you kill him, you are in his position. And he is in your position after saying the word. Or after, that is, let me rephrase that. You are in his position before he had said the shahada. Meaning that if you kill someone after saying la ilaha illallah, it's not your business if he means it or not, if he's sincere or not. This is not to you, this is to Allah Azza wa Jal. The same thing happened with Usama ibn Zayd, but it wasn't hypothetical, it was a fact. He came from an expedition, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tell him, tell me, what had happened? He said, oh, we fought this, we fought that, and there was this man, he killed so many Muslims. So I took my sword and ran after him, and we had a duel. But then he felt that he was going to die. So the minute I was there and I was about to stab him, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And the Prophet said, huh, what did you do afterwards? He said, I stabbed him and I killed him. And the Prophet was angered, was outraged. He said, you killed him after he said, la ilaha illallah? He said, O Prophet of Allah, he said it only to protect himself. The Prophet said, you killed him after he said, la ilaha illallah? How did you know? Did you open his heart to see if he was sincere or not? Where will you go from la ilaha illallah on the day of judgment? Where will you go from la ilaha illallah on the day of judgment? And he kept on repeating it. Usama says, by Allah, I hoped and I wished that I did not embrace Islam till that day. Meaning that after I did this sin, I wish I embraced Islam today so that Allah would erase it for me. And this is a serious thing. Now, there are many, many, many types of killing. And the people are playing with the time now. I'm lost. I think we have a few minutes to go. Everybody's saying, Alhamdulillah. I don't have to use my diapers. I can go in peace. Anyhow, among the types of killing that is haram and people usually don't associate it with this is committing suicide. So many people call me, Sheikh, I am depressed, I want to kill myself, I want to end my life. Why? Because I failed in chemistry 101. Akhi, be a man. What is this? Killing yourself does not relieve you from your worries. It's the least of your worries. Because the minute you kill yourself, okay, the people who want money from you will not run after you because you're dead. The sins you've committed will not pursue you because you're dead. But you will go straight to hell. And this was the least of your worries that you have problems in this life. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, oh, you who believe, do not consume one another's wealth unjustly. And this is the advertisement for tomorrow's lecture, inshallah, my lecture. I don't know, care about others. My lecture is about the unlawful consumption of wealth. So this ayah is an advertisement, inshallah. O you who believe, do not consume one another's wealth unjustly, but only in lawful business by mutual consent. And do not kill yourselves or one another. Indeed, Allah is to you ever merciful. And whosoever does that in aggression and injustice, that is killing yourself or the consumption of haram money, then we will drive him into a fire. And that for Allah is always easy. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, whoever kills himself in this life will be tormented on the day of judgment with it. What does that mean? This hadith, which was agreed upon, which was reported by Bukhari and Muslim, explains it. Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever throws himself from a high place, from a mountain, and dies, he is in the hellfire, falling from a high place for eternity forever. So you jump from the Twin Towers, it's a long way. God, it's long. Let me make a phone call. Mom, I'm sorry, but I think I've tripped and I'm falling down. Anyhow, don't send me the emails. Boom. He's dead. Now, his punishment is to be thrown from a high place in hell. And this, as the Prophet said, alayhi salam, khalidan fiha abadan, for eternity, forever. Not only that, whoever drinks poison, he will drink this poison in hellfire for eternity, forever. This is his punishment. He will feel the pain in hellfire for eternity. Whoever stabs himself, shoots himself, whatever, he will be punished by that in hell forever, for eternity. And all of this is a warning from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So Sheikh, so that you won't ask me this question in the forum today, what's the ruling on suicide bombing? It's suicide. Sheikh, but they killed the enemy. Akhi, let's not joke. Who killed him? It's he pressed the button. Yani, who killed this suicide bomber? He killed himself. He's in hell. Sheikh, he's got a long beard. Fidel Castro has a long beard. It doesn't matter. The length of your beard doesn't mean the length of your iman. It is an act of obligation by the Prophet ﷺ. It's a sunnah. But Allah did not tell us to prolong it. He told us to leave it. So it is not an indication. Sheikh, he's doing this for the sake of Allah. We saw a video of him saying that, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa Rasulullah, and a long sermon that he's doing it for the sake of Allah, for jihad. Who killed him? Answer me. He killed himself. He's in hell. And the most pathetic are those doing the Charles Hebdo. I don't know if he's originally Charles Abdelhamid and they are, you know, the French use, I don't know, maybe. Now, Charles Hebdo, what they had done is unforgiven. Depicting our Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, writing cartoons about him. Who are you? This is unforgiven at all, and you cannot give them your condolence or say, I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry for what happened, because you are the criminals. However, so now they're dimming the light. It's time to sleep. What is this? It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Totally permissible. I will kill you afterwards, inshallah. No, serious. I was joking. Joking is not permissible, Sheikh. I agree. Can you edit this, please? Edit it. Yes. Take it off. Anyhow. So we condemn their kufr. We don't give them our condolences. We don't put their flags as a sign of solidarity. Solidarity? Am I a kafir? He did an act of kufr to my Prophet. But we measure things with Quran and Sunnah. You cannot transgress. You cannot bark back at a dog that barks at you. They're dogs. We not. So, don't get me wrong. Those who did the attacks are wrong. But they initiated. They draw first blood. Secondly, this Belgium attacks in the subways and in the airport. This is uncalled for. This, no Muslim on earth would say, MashaAllah, we like it. We like what? They've killed doctors, engineers, schoolgoers, innocent people. Yeah, so that they can feel the pain. Pain of what, akhi? What are you, a sadist? What pain are you talking about? So they are the enemies of Islam. Habibi, this is my friend in Arabic. My friend, 50 kilometers from Syria and Iraq is Iran. And another 100 kilometers is Israel. You go 4,000 kilos to attack the enemies of Islam, who never even shot a bullet at you? These people do not relate to Islam. They kill themselves, they're not related to Islam. They do not represent Muslims at all. Ya akhi, look at Indonesia, next door neighbor, 250 million, maybe, counting, Allahu alam. Look at all the Muslims, 1.7 billion Muslims. Wallah, if we spit on Europe and America, they will drown. Are you crazy? And they accuse us of killing people. And akhi, Islam is a religion of peace. But don't get me wrong. Peace doesn't mean weakness. Islam is a religion of pride without arrogance. A religion of strength without violence. A religion of humanity and peace without weakness. So it is not what people try to portray. No, Islam is a religion of peace. And then if I slap you on your face, give me the other cheek. We're out of cheeks. Khalas. I gave you all the cheeks I have and you slapped them all. So what are you talking about? So killing yourself, suicide bombing or whatever it is, this is killing yourself and you are in hell. In Islam, 5 minutes, 52 seconds. In Islam, it is prohibited to kill even if the justification in your mind is halal, such as honor killing. This is not widely spread. In some Arab countries, they have it. If a woman commits adultery or fornication, her brother, her son, her father, her cousin would go and kill her. And he considers this to be honor killing. In 90% of the cases, she was wrong done to. She was a victim. She didn't do anything wrong. But someone came to, oh, your sister went out with this and that. So your blood boils and you go and kill. Even if she committed adultery, even if she committed haram, killing her makes you a murderer. And everything we said is applied to you. And you have to be killed for it. So there's no justification. Types of killing. What they call euthanasia. Merciful killing. Doctors know this. A person who is in pain, in agony, cannot be cured. They come and give him medication to kill him. They say this is euthanasia. We're euthanizing him. We are killing him mercifully. He's not a cat, akhi. You cannot do this. Yeah, he's in pain. He's in pain. Allah is raising his status in Jannah until he reaches the top. He is suffering. No problem. Allah is erasing all of his sins. You're not God. He wants to be killed. Then this is suicide and a murder. He's killing himself and you're the murderer. Both will have the same punishment. Also, abortion. This is killing as well. And so many people call Sheikh, my wife wants to abort the child. How old is the child? He's 9 months, a week, maybe less. Why do you want to do this? She says that she doesn't have any dresses to fit her now. Is this legitimate reason, Sheikh? Wahi, if killing is halal, I will kill you. But it's not. How dare you kill an innocent person, a child, out of fear of poverty, out of fear of not being able to pursue your education? Are you a Muslim? So, to conclude, 3 minutes and 21 seconds. Well, I'm doing good, huh? Mashallah, mashallah. In conclusion, Allah Azza wa Jal says, O my servants, I have made transgression, I have made zulm prohibited upon me, and I prohibit you to fall into it. Zulm is haram, and one of the highest grades of zulm is taking the soul of an innocent individual without any justification or legitimate reason. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, by Allah, you will do your obligations and you will commit to the rights over you, because on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will hold accountable the ram that has horns and the ram that does not have horns. Why did the ram with the horns? What is the verb used? I don't know. Anyone knowing verbs of rams and bulls? Anyhow, the ram attacking the other one without horns. Allah would hold him accountable. Do you think Allah would let you go free? If Allah is holding the ram accountable for that? So stay away from transgression. Stay away from zulm. Stay away from rage. The Prophet ﷺ was approached by one of his companions. Advise me. He said, do not become angry. He said, give me more. Do not become angry. And he kept on repeating it. Rage takes you to hell. Be aware of food that Allah has made prohibited upon us. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal prohibit the meat of lions, of tigers, of eagles, of birds that have claws and that have teeth? It's prohibited for us. Why? Scholars say because eating them, consuming them, makes you like them, wanting to be a predator, wanting you to become aggressive and killing people. Avoid these games, computer games and online games that promote violence. A lot of our children live and thrive on them. Nowadays with this new social media, I send SMSs and I send WhatsApp to my children. Next room, the food is being served. And they said, okay, I'm coming, with a smiley face. This is a problem. We're addicted to it. This is not the time, but this is one of the reasons that is causing us to do this. And may Allah protect the Muslim Ummah and us as individuals from that such violence and killing. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect Malaysia and protect the whole of the Muslim Ummah from violence, from deviancy, from corrupt ideology, from attempting to harm one another. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make us one ummah with one deen, with one Quran, with one qibla, with one messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's flashing saying that it is 00000. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad.